I do appreciate very much the invitation to be here with you today, and I appreciate that for a number of reasons. One, because as was mentioned, Janice and I have some history with the congregation here, and we have some people that we've known for years that have great affection in our hearts, and we remember you and talk about you every now and then, every year of our lives. So we do appreciate that. And we appreciate the fact that you've invited me to be here with you. And I appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to come out and to join our hearts and our souls and our minds together. You think about it for a moment, that we have all these different things that are going on out in the world, things that are distractive or things that are interesting or things that are demanding upon us. And yet, wherever your home was, at a certain time this morning, you decided, I'm going to take some time today and I'm going to worship God. And that's what we all have in common. Every one of us has done this. And we've come here for this purpose, and that means it's a special place to be and special people to be with. And so I thank you for being here and count it as a privilege and an honor to be able to speak to you. I would say this morning and not trying to brag, but that a certain portion of the lesson this morning just may be one of the best lessons that you will ever hear. And I say that with all modesty because it's not going to be my fault. The lesson and the subject I'm dealing with, I know I have this experience, and I think that you will too. And that is that the best sermon that you hear is the one that you will preach to yourself. And all I get to do is set the stage for that particular sermon. And when you get around to that part, then you're going to do the part that really touches your heart. And that's the part then that you'll say, that was a really good lesson, and it will be all yours. I'm going to speak three lessons today. I have a number of lessons that I do on this subject, and it has to do with the Apostle Peter. And Peter is a wonderful instrument of instruction in the New Testament. He's, of course, a great servant of God, and there are many. I mean, when you study, for example, the Apostle Paul, you are amazed at his strength, his faith, his commitment, his courage, his consistency. And if you're like me, that sometimes you get intimidated because Paul just did all these things and you say, I just can't imagine anybody having the wherewithal to accomplish what a man like that did. When it comes to Peter, I find somebody I can relate to personally, because Peter on occasion would stumble, and I will stumble. And the thing with Peter is that, yes, he would stumble, but he always gets back up. And I say, okay, I can relate to that. I can relate to it because in my life, I'm going to stumble. I'm not going to be perfect, but the thing is that the Lord's still going to be able to use me. And sometimes he can use us better because we have stumbled and gotten back up. So this is going to be a lesson about Peter, all three lessons today. And in my mind, I entitled these lessons that Peter had a problem. And then in parentheses, I think, and so do I. And you can do that and say, and so do you. All right, so let's start first of all with the account that we're going to read about in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And if you have your Bibles in hand and like to follow along, this will be fairly simple for you. We'll take most of our information right out of this passage, and hopefully then you can keep up if you like to read. And if you don't, that's fine. You follow along the way that you do best. Listen, I'll read as carefully as I can. If you want to take notes and whatnot, you know, feel free to do that. You do what is effective and helpful to you. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, we have an amazing incident that happened when Jesus had heard the news that I think that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And then this is the time that he had determined that he would withdraw for a while. And he crossed over the Sea of Galilee. At this time, he was so popular or so interesting to people that the people then walked around to where Jesus and his disciples would be. And Jesus, having compassion on them, then he spoke and talked to them that day. At the end of the day, they had come so far, evidently packed up and come over there, and they didn't bring any lunch or anything with them. And so the disciples said, you better send them away. They've come all this distance, been here a long time. They don't have anything to eat. And Jesus said, well, why don't we just feed them? And they said, well, we can't do that. Well, what do you have? And they had, what, 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And you know the story. Wonderful story. And the kids all know it. And they fed then the 5,000. And afterwards, they picked up, you know, the baskets. I think they had 12 baskets full left over after they got done. An amazing incident. And what I'm going to think of this morning is, yes, it was amazing to the people that were there. But I want you to think about from the point of view of Peter and the other disciples. It was amazing to them, too. Now, at the end of that day, Jesus had told his disciples, which we pick up our account here, and that's in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. And it says that immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And you read this in the account in John and whatnot. Remember, the crowds wanted to go and make him king. And Jesus then departed from them, sent his disciples away, and departed out of their sight. The disciples had left. The people decided, well, Jesus has gone. And so they left. And then Jesus then begins to walk on the water out after the disciples. But the first point here is this. And that is that Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side. And you must think of this now. When the Lord, this one who fed the 5,000, when he gives you an instruction, you have then been given a divine mission. This is always the point here. There's been another occasion when Jesus said, well, let's go to the other side. And they got in the boat. Jesus was asleep and went into the boat. And the storm came up and the disciples thought, hey, we're going to sink out here. And so they woke up Jesus. Don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus then calmed the waters. But the point of that was, is that they were a little faith. Their little faith was because Jesus had told them, let's go to the other side. And even if he's asleep or whatever, they should have known, their faith should have said, we're going to get to the other side. It doesn't matter what the storm is or how bad it is. When you have a divine mission, you're going to complete that mission. In this particular point, Jesus gave them a commandment, a divine mission, and he sent them to the other side. And it tells us how in the account that there was in verse 24, how the boat was already a long distance from the land and was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So there was a storm out there in the Sea of Galilee. And these disciples, many of them, were fishermen. They'd been out on this lake many, many times. They knew what the water was like. They knew what the storms were like. They knew how to handle the boat. And all this is familiar to them. And so they, you know, they are struggling at the time, particular time of this departure from them. As a matter of fact, I think if you read the account in Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, it says, they were straining at the oars. You know, rough water, they're out there, they're really struggling, the oars, they're guiding, they're trying to keep this boat going in the direction that it should. And while he is out there, it tells us in verse 25 that in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And as the scriptures are, they're usually very brief, but you stop and think about them and just think of what that was like. They're out there, the storm has come, they're struggling with the oars, they're trying to manage things in this storm that is out there. And then it says, and Jesus came walking to them out in the sea. And you wonder, what was that like? What did they see? You know, the waves were going. You know how when you're out in rough water, it's up. Sometimes you can see, and sometimes you're down low and you whatnot. How did they see Jesus coming to them? And you might say, well, they could see that halo glowing in the dark. And say, no, there's no, he didn't have a halo, didn't glow in the dark. He did not do that. When he wanted to disappear from the Jews who wanted to arrest him, he just walked out into the multitudes and they couldn't find him because he looked like every other Jew that was around there. He didn't glow in the dark. So how did they know he was coming? Well, then you see the thing here is that they must have spotted something out there reflecting in the light or something. It'd be about 3 o'clock in the morning. And as they're struggling with the oars and the waves are up and the boat comes up and down, and perhaps they looked out and might have seen a shadow out there, saw something out there. And so this is what would actually be happening there. And this is why it says then in verse 26 that when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, it says they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. They didn't know what it was. They saw something, and then as they peered out there, they saw it again. They say, well, it looks like some kind of being out there. It looks like somebody walking on the water. They don't know that it might be Jesus, and it didn't occur to them. It's some kind of a spook that is out there. And so they thought, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. And the next occasion, it says that immediately that Jesus spoke to them, and he said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And so Jesus then identified himself to them, and they would know, or they at least would hear, that it is he who is there. All right then, here's the point that we actually begin our lesson at this time. And that is that Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Right? What do we see here? That Peter's in the boat and he calls out to Jesus and he said, Lord, if it's you, command that I come. And Jesus said, come. And what do you have there? You have that Jesus has spoken to them a commandment. That is to Peter, command me. And Jesus says, come. That's a commandment. Well, you know how this works, don't you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what you find here then is the first step that we will notice is that faith is born. The first thing here, we have the commandment, we have the Word of the Lord, and the commandment is given, and so Peter will now respond out of faith. As we look at this then, when Peter, it says to Peter that he got out of the boat. Now you know what's going to happen because everybody knows the story here. When Peter walked out in the water, we're going to look at that. And sometimes, you know, we say, oh, there's Peter. He got in trouble again and he needs assistance to get out of the trouble. But yet you think about it like this. Peter at least got out of his boat. Right? He did get out of that boat. What does that boat represent to us? Think about that again. A boat, of course, is man's way to survive the storm. Right? There you are. You're out on the lake. You got the storm. Well, just storm or not. You're out there in the water. The boat is your place of safety. That's your place of security. That's your little spot that is stable and holds you and keeps you safe and you know what's going on and you've got that thing. Everything is under control. That's your little spot of security and of stability there. And for that matter, don't we all have a little boat that we're in? Here's you start preaching your own lesson. What's your little boat? Where is your little boat? Where is your little comfort zone? Where is it that you feel safe? Where is it that you feel, all right, everything's under control? Where is it that you are? And you know, the problem with that is that in this life, we like to get in our little boat. I'm probably the worst one of anybody, that I have the things in my life that I like them the way they are, and I want them to know if this is in its right place and things are going in the right way and this. I like that. But the point of this is that if the boat is your way to survive the storms of the world, then it comes down to this too many times, that by the time we struggle with the oars and we struggle to keep our boat where it's supposed to be, and we're trying to manage where this boat is going to go, we're managing the things of life, we're managing the struggles of life, that it becomes very common then that there's no time left to serve the Lord because we're struggling to keep our little boat where it's supposed to be. And this is the name of your lesson you're going to preach to yourself. It's going to be, get out of your boat. You're not going to serve the Lord until you get out of the boat. So you find your little boat. You preach that little boat. Look at your life and say, where is it in my life? I'm just doing this. I'm struggling to pay the bills. I'm struggling to keep my little boat afloat. I'm trying to keep my schedule up here, my vacation time, my recreation time. And then I've got all these winds blowing about out here. I could have family struggles. I could have health problems. I got all this. I spend my time just trying to keep my little boat afloat. And if that's where we are, we will not have time to get out of that boat. We don't want to quit rowing those oars. We don't want to keep paddling in the right direction. But sometimes, brethren, we simply have to get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. It was a step of faith. It was simple. The commandment was simple. It was a true step. Jesus said, come. He stepped out of the boat, and we commend him for that first step of faith. That faith was born, and Peter responded and got out of his boat. All right, now, what happens, though? In verse 30, it says, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So as he got out of the boat, and he's walking over toward the Lord, he's walking toward the Lord, but then he looks out, and what does he see? Of course, he sees the wind. You don't see the wind. What he sees is the waves. He sees the things that are going. He's been out on this sea all of his life. That's how he made his living. And he knows that he has no business being out of that boat. He knows the power of those waves. He knows what that is like out there. And then, what do we find here? Then we find that he has his faith is being challenged. So faith having been born, and this will be true almost every time in your life, you're going to take a step of faith, but your faith somehow is going to be challenged. Peter's faith was challenged. And by the way, what is the challenge of his faith? Look at that 30th verse again. And see if you can see, where is it that the problem that Peter had here? And it says in verse 30 that seeing the wind, he became frightened. Well, he saw the waves, okay. He could see that. What's the problem there? When he got out of the boat, where was he looking? He was looking at Jesus. But as he stepped forward and he starts to walk toward Jesus, what does he do? What did his eyes do? His eyes go off of Jesus and he looks at the storm. That's the problem. He took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at these other things that were round about him. And when that happened, well, you know what's going to happen. It says that he became frightened and he began to sink. And you take your eyes off the Lord, you're going to sink, right? So faith, his faith was challenged. His faith was challenged by the burdens and the turmoil and the struggles and the uncertainties of life and all the things that are going on. That's the challenge to his faith. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he began to sink. And so you see there, as he began to sink, what happened then is that his faith faltered. You take your eyes off the Lord. That's the source of your faith. And when you start looking at these other things and you see those challenges out there, you don't have the oars in your hand anymore. You don't have your little boat there to give you some safety. You don't have all those things in place for you. And so you start to sink. That is, your faith begins to falter. We've all experienced this in probably every avenue of faith that we have. He took his eyes off the Lord. He looked at the world about him, and he began to sink. Now, what happens then in that verse? As they began to sink, he cried out, and he said, Lord, save me. Right now, think it again. What is Peter doing? When he got out of the boat, he's looking at the Lord. When he looked at the storm, he took his eyes off the Lord. He starts to sink. Now he realizes, I'm sinking. And where do his eyes go? Lord, save me. So he then, you might say, when he starts to sink, that's when he remembers. So we have then faith after it falters. The essential thing is that faith will remember. He'll remember where he's supposed to be looking. And he looks back to the Lord and he says, Lord, save me. Now, I just said it by the way that I read it, and I want you to think about it now. When he was in the boat, and he looks out at Jesus, and he hears Jesus say, it's I, don't be afraid. Then he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of the boat. What's motivating Peter there? It's hard to say, and we won't say with certainty, but try to put yourself into his shoes. As he's sitting in there in the boat, you know, that he had just seen the Lord feed the 5,000. He sees his astounding things that he has done. And then he's out here walking on the water. And Peter may be thinking, that's pretty neat. You know, be out there walking on the water. He can do things, you know, that man can't do. He has this divine power that he has. That's pretty neat out there. And so he says, Lord, I'd like to do that. Call me, Lord. Tell me to come. And I'll step out of that boat and I'll come to you. All right? That's kind of a neat thing to do. That is, you might say, intellectually. That's something. The Lord can do it. He commands me to do it, and I should be able to do it. Lord, tell me to come, and I'll come. And Jesus said, come. He stepped out of the boat. Okay, that's his first step. How do you think Jesus called out to the Lord, Peter called out to the Lord when he was up to his neck in water? You think of that. Well, there's a little difference there, isn't there? When he's in his boat, yeah, that's what I should do. I should step out of the boat, come to the Lord. The Lord told me to come, I'm coming. But now he gets in trouble. Now he's sinking down. When he's in the boat, he's saying, Lord, tell me to come and I'll come. When he's in the water, he's saying, Lord, save me! It's a little different now, isn't it? His faith has taken a transformation here when he turns back to the Lord. Now it really counts. It's not an intellectual exercise of what he's learned he should do, and he's going to take the step of faith. Now it's the one that really counts. He really needs the Lord. And the Lord is the only place he can go to for the thing that he needs. And so in the scriptures it just says, Lord, save me. But you put your own inflexive voice upon that. How do you think that Peter would have said that out there at the time of that wind as he called about to the Lord? So I would say here that the thing is that what the important thing is, I want you to set in mind is, he put his eyes back on the Lord. And that's where his salvation was going to be found. Over in the book of Colossians, I'll read it to you if you don't have time to look it up, but in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 1, And this is spoken to people who are Christians and have been Christians, you know, for some time. And that the advice, you see, is still the same thing. In Colossians chapter 3, in the first two verses, it says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Does that sound like Peter's problem here? That's the answer, isn't it? That's where the answer is found, and that is if you've been raised up to Christ, if you've gotten out of your boat, then you keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. simple thing this morning. You got up, got out of bed, set your mind on the things that were above. You set this above. You set this in place of other things that were going on in your life. And you stepped forward and you came here to worship and to honor God and to study His Word and the other things that we'll be doing this morning. You're setting your mind. You're setting your mind upon the Lord and where He is. And so this is what has happened here. And notice what in verse 31, that when he cried out, "Lord, save me," that immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" See, it's all a matter of faith that is found here. But it is still kind of interesting that the Lord doesn't say, "Oh, come on, Peter, I told you to walk. You can walk in this water now. Get back up and take a step now. Have faith. You can come and you can make it to me." No, Jesus stretched out his hand and he lifts Peter up out of the water. And you find in that then that Peter's faith is what? Peter's faith then is renewed. Now, when we get down to this point, you look at that and you say, all right, let's look at Peter's faith, which will be the same as ours when we go through such things as this. Compare the faith that he had when he's up here and first got out of the boat to the faith that he has here now that has been renewed. And wouldn't you agree that Peter's faith now is stronger than it was to start with? Peter will no longer, and I'm sure this is what Jesus, the whole plan that he had, that Peter will no longer be the same after he has gone through this. He won't be the same as he was before anymore. The enemy, the waves and the storms, the enemy has been met. The victory has been won, and Peter is now a veteran. In terms of faith, the Peter that gets back in that boat with the Lord at the end of this is a stronger, more heroic person than he was when he first got out of that boat. It all has its purpose. And you're going to find then that your life is going to be similar to that. You're going to have the times when you are challenged. And as far as Peter goes, an interesting exercise here is to go and read Peter's writings, which were written many, many years later. and you turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, for example. And in the 6th verse, here's some advice in verse 6 and 7. Here's the advice of the veteran Peter. Here's the advice of the man who got out of that boat, whose faith had been challenged, whose faith faltered, whose faith had been renewed. Then you find this in this case here, that now you have a person that can give some advice to other people. He's found out how it works. He's found out that this is successful. He's found out the Lord's going to help him out when he needs that help. And this is the point that he now says in verse 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And when I read that, I say, that's a lesson that Peter learned. And he's learned that lesson, and now that he's gone through that, now that he's stumbled, now that he's faltered, now that he has remembered, get my eyes back on the Lord, cry out to the Lord to save me, and the Lord has reached down and lifted him up, then he's able to say to you and me, he's able to say that from the point of view not only of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but of his personal experience that he has. And that is that he can say to us with all comfort then, "Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Peter had a problem, but the Lord worked with Peter to overcome that problem. And the Peter after the solution to that problem, of course, was a stronger person in the service of the Lord. So, let's look at the sermon you're going to preach to yourself. I suggested a little while ago, what you need to do is identify your little boat out there in the midst of the stormy world. You know, what's your little boat look like? What are the struggles that you have? What is it you're trying to maintain in your life? What is that comfort zone? And we all get our comfort zone because we're in life. We get to, okay, here's the way I function. Here's the people I associate with. Here's the things I have to do. And I've got to, you know, go to school or get my job or, you know, what all my plans are that I have to be doing. And the thing there is you got to look at that and identify your little boat, where you are comfortable. Now, where you are comfortable in that little boat, then you have then the calling of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you might gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." God calls us through his gospel. Jesus called to Peter to get out of his boat. He calls to us through the gospel. Here we are, sitting in our little boat. And here is the call of the Lord to duty or to service or to worship or to whatever it would happen to be. If you haven't become a Christian, of course, then it is that call that Jesus made in one of the most beautiful passages in all the world. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, "Come." All right, look at that Matthew 11, verse 28. It's Jesus who says, "Come, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Where are you in your little boat? Do you hear the Lord calling you? Do you hear the gospel of the Word of God calling you? It might be calling you to respond and to in believing in the Lord Jesus and and repenting of your sins and confessing your faith and be baptized in the name. You might look at those of you that have all been baptized into Christ. You think back to the time when you were listening to that call to come to Jesus Christ. And that you needed to put your faith in Christ, and you needed to repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I don't know about you. I would say from my own experience that you might have a similar idea. But the point there for me is that, first of all, it becomes an intellectual exercise. That's the beauty of the Scriptures. It's so easy to understand. It's not hard to understand this, that Jesus is the Son of God. And God has so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we look at that, you say, yeah, I understand that, and I can appreciate what God has done for me. And yes, when Jesus says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish," I can look at that and say, yeah, you know, that's right. We need to turn away from sin and turn toward God and commit our lives to the service of God. Yeah, intellectually, I understand that. It's not hard to understand. "Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven." And again, I can understand that. Is that hard to understand? Acknowledging your faith before men, and I understand, makes perfect sense. How would Jesus confess me before his Father if I'm not willing to confess him before men? Yeah, intellectually, that makes sense. I understand that, and I come to agree with that, okay? And he said, and as Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Is that hard to understand? The Jews in that day didn't find it hard to understand. The ones that received that word were baptized on that day. But the point there is, I'm trying to make it, that we can hear the gospel of Christ. It's that gospel that is saying, "Come unto me." You're sitting in your little boat. You're sitting in your world where you got everything where in order. Even your problems. Sometimes, you know, what's the old saying to say, "I wouldn't trade my problems for your problems any day of the week," because I understand my problems, I'm familiar with them, I know what they are, and thank you, I'll keep my own problems because I've learned how to deal with them. So here I am in my little boat. And there's Jesus that says, "Come." Come. intellectually, I say, that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And yet, when it comes to stepping over the side of the boat, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes if you're sitting in a crowd of people and you know, yeah, that's what I should do. I should come to the Lord. And then you start to come, but you look at the things around you and you say, wait a minute, that means I'd have to do this right in front of all these people? Why, they could be watching me. They could be seeing what I'm doing. And I'd have to do, what have I done? Taking my eyes off the Lord and I'm looking at the wind that is blowing around about me. Friend, you need to get out of your boat. And it's not always easy. When you become a Christian, you're going to be walking upon the best possible path of life, but you who have been Christians for a number of years will be able to tell anybody, it's not always easy. There is a burden to be borne. There is a yoke that we have in Christ. There is a service we'll give the Lord. And sometimes there are some adverse effects that follow along with that. It's not always easy. But the point is, let's not be baptized into Christ. It's hard enough to get out of a boat then. But once we get that done, get that taken care of, now what do I say? Okay, I'll get back in my boat now and grab the oars because I've got to keep this thing going in the right direction. All of your life, as you hear the gospel call of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to require of you to get out of your boat. And there are going to be times when your faith is challenged. There's going to be times when your faith will falter. But always remember, put your eyes back on the Lord. That's where your salvation is. And that is the one where we place our anxieties upon Him, that we know He cares for us. And His hand is there always to help us on that path, the pathway of faith. The pathway that Peter found and that made him a better man and ultimately a better Christian after it was all over than it was when he began. I'll leave this thought with you this morning as I suggested to you, and that is, you look in your mind, you identify your little boat, and then you be the preacher. And that message of your sermon to yourself is, you've got to get out of your boat. Okay? You do it. I have to do it. We all have to do it. So you preach that sermon to yourself.